Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. So glad you joined us today. We're going to continue and conclude today's interview with Tom Donnan. We had to stop right in the middle of the interview yesterday because we just ran out of time. We're going to pick it right back up where we left off. We're talking about the wildfires out in California and how that is one of the signs that things are really going to hell in a handbasket around here pretty doggone quick. And you'll catch the gist of our conversation as we join Tom Donnan right back into this interview right now. You know, we talk about California. Look at it's like half burned up this year, all these wildfires and no rain. And, you know, the East Coast is getting flooded with rain. California can't buy. Well, they have to buy. They buy their water. I'm wondering where they're buying the water for all these firefighters. You know, they're hosing down these wildfires. I wonder where they're buying that water from. But
I know. I just laugh because I remember an article that flashed back into my mind. It was about 10, maybe 15 years ago. Do you know that they were actually thinking about tunneling through the Rocky Mountains into the Missouri River? Because each year they have rains, and the rains flood the river, and when it flooded, they wanted the water to flow back west. You know, on the other side of the Continental Divide, this is how desperate they're becoming for water. But this is the whole point. This is the messages of all the things that we're talking about here. There's currently, I looked it up yesterday, 52 fires burning in California. Okay? And so I was amazed. I thought it was just a couple. And yeah. I was blown away. This is what you're talking about. This, you know, God moves away. And when God moves away, his perfection, his protection and provisions are then relinquished, and they're drawn back. And so then you start to see the effects and the consequences of that happening. Now, I often quote Deuteronomy 28, verses 16 through the end, where it says, okay, if this is the direction you want to forsake me, okay, this is what's going to happen. If you want to know what's going to happen to our regions or states or country, you know, just get into there and you'll see that it's a progression. The further you go, the harder it's going to get. Yep,
exactly.
And so California is seeing devastating stuff with no idea of looking up. This is the thing that just boggles my mind, is they're forging headlong into the darkness, not realizing that, well, maybe, hey, listen, somebody's trying to get our attention here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think God's doing a pretty good job of getting their attention. But the thing is, they're focused on the problem and not on the answer.
Exactly.
When they're confronted with, well, this is the answer. No, we don't want that.
I know.
That may be your answer, but it's not our answer. Okay, well, continue to march,
I think one of the fascinating things is that, okay, there is losses, but not loss of life. No,
right.
And so, it's kind of like saying, okay, this is the other thing that really I struggle with is comfort. Comfort, our social affluence or economic comfort is killing us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not touching me, I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
But when it becomes personal, then of course it changes. But then, I'm like a dad. I don't want to see my kids go through hard times, mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, you guys are going down the road. It's only going to be getting worse. And I think, what will it take for them to be able to start turning around? But then, what does it say in the Bible? I remember Tony Evans saying this. You know, you get to the point where God says, okay, I'm going to turn you over to the depravity of your own mind.
Yeah.
No. And then it's like, okay, you can't see light anymore.
Yeah.
No, and I'm wondering where that transition is.
Mm.
No, in all of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And when you get to that point, that's what is commonly referred to as the point of no return. You know, I mean, when your depraved mind
gets to the point where you seek the depravity instead of recognizing the depravity of what it is, and that's, you know, this is what's confronting you. Turn around, go the other way, and you continue to seek that. It's kind of like an addict, I guess you could say. He knows he's hooked on heroin or cocaine. He knows it, but he wants more of it. He doesn't like what he has become, but yet he seeks it out. He wishes that he could change, but yet he seeks that next high, that next hit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they know that they want to change, but they just continue to go down the same path, and they can't. Once they get to that point, the devil has them in their grasp, and it will take an actual intervention from God in their life to get them to change. And I've had people testify. I've heard testimonies where, you know, even on interviews on this podcast, I've had a couple people where they were headed completely in the other direction. I have one friend of mine, very good friend. He was so far down, he didn't want to live anymore. And he'd had a dysfunctional family, hadn't really had much contact with his father since his dad left when he was like two or something like that. And he put the, you know, had the bottle, tequila or whatever it was, in one hand, took a couple of slugs, put the gun to his head, and got ready to pull the trigger. And the phone rang, and it was his dad. "Hey, son, I just want to see how you're doing." And that intervention, that divine intervention at that exact moment, 5 seconds later, it had been all over, you know. He said, but he started talking with his dad a little bit, and his dad convinced him to go get help. And, you know, that's, you know, now he's, I mean, this guy is on fire for God, right? But it was that divine intervention, you know. He's seeing God's hand saying, this does not have to be your answer, you know.
Well, then that plays into the next part, the next thought. Is that, okay, I like Psalms 107, where it talks about, I consider it to be like generational issues or generational families, because you just don't get there, you know, in a short period of time.
Right.
It builds upon, builds upon, builds upon, right? So you have a circumstance where a person finds themselves in jail in the Psalms, and they get to the end of themselves, and they realize that, well, wait a minute, I remember these Bible stories, I remember the scriptures, I remember this, and they're willing to make the transition between known experience to trust and with faith and reach out to God. Now, getting back to these conversations that I've had with people over the years in the chat service, the thing is that they the point that I take comfort in is that when a person seeks God with their whole heart, mind, and soul, that it says in the scriptures that they will find him, right? So they might not know the salvation message, but they then connect to the God who can then lay it across their path so that they can, like you were saying, that intervention at that divine appointment that takes place is that then that's where another dynamic is that we live in the world, but the world is only a temporary situation. The real world is in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Amen.
So we often talk about this as a veil. All right. And the veil can be thick or the veil can be thin. Yeah. Now, there's the illustration of a person that was going to commit suicide. All of a sudden, the veil became very thin, and God orchestrated out the intervention because God had work for this person to do.
That's right.
And he intervened in their lives. And so this is where we can step into the next aspect of this. What is God up to, right?
Amen, amen. What is God up to? I'm leaving it up to you, brother.
I've been watching this downward spiral, you know, since the last time that we've talked, and I'm thinking, where in the world is this going? How is God going to be working? Because I don't see things happening in an upward direction or in a positive aspect. And then just in the last week before I contacted you, I started to see that God is using a remnant. All right. It's used 92 times in the scriptures in a variety of ways, but in one of the aspects is that God uses a remnant so that he can burden them for change. All right. So let me give an illustration of what happened 2 weeks ago in our Tuesday noontime prayer meeting. We're at church. About 100 people show up for this prayer meeting on a Tuesday at noontime, which is phenomenal for, you know, the church. And so they have worship that's being led. And at the 55-minute mark, a woman comes forward and asks to be able to speak. And they give her a microphone. And then she starts sharing this burden that is on her heart. And, of course, tears, and she's sobbing and having a hard time expressing this. And it's about how she feels so concerned and burdened for America, all right? So the interesting part was is that the spirit of her burden then cascaded on to at least half of the people in the room. Now, they're moving forward towards the altar, and they're kneeling down at the altar area, and then they begin to sob and cry out to God. Okay? Now, what is happening here is that when you have a burden, is that you are in an area of multiplication. Yeah. Now, when I say this, is that you have one person, one prayer. But when God puts a burden upon you, it's because he wants to hear this prayer, and it becomes multiplied. Let's just say that it becomes 100, like you're praying for 100, right? So now you have 50 people who have just shared this burden. Now it gets magnified. Now it starts to reach the ear of God. Now these are sovereign acts, right? So then I see that this is happening in the church, and I take comfort in this because this isn't isolated. I've had this happen before, where for a season, the Lord had burdened me for praying for the city of Chicago. So I think, well, what in the world is this about, Lord? And then, I'm praying for Chicago. But then I realized, no, it's the metro area. So we often, in this area, call it Chicagoland, you know. But in Chicagoland, you know, it's the, when you come in from a plane, I mean, it's just sprawling, you know. It's just, especially if you can see
farms,
it at night.
Yeah.
And so I decided to focus on the metro area. And so for like maybe 3-4 months, I have this burden, and often I am praying for this area, and then 9/11 happens, all right?
Yeah.
And you see, Chicago was also on the list for potential targets. And God had been raising up intercessors or burdened people for the purpose of reaching his ear. Now, I'm not saying that that didn't happen for New York. I don't know. I'm just giving my personal experience here about what had happened when I had a burden and how I felt. Because this is what's going on. If you have a burden from the Lord, then the thing is that you have become an important person for the change in the atmosphere or the direction of the country because of that burden. And so I thank you for making yourself available to the Lord for the purpose of having that burden, because he burdens those that are close to him.
Amen.
No, and this is where it becomes important, because if you can limit the amount of people moving towards God, well, then they have the victory.
Yeah.
But if you can encourage people to move towards God, and then you get a cascade of more people being burdened. Look at, there's this guy, his name is Reese Howe. All right. He was, I can't remember, it was maybe the 1800s or so. All right. He became burdened. Well, the Welsh Revival. He was in part of the Welsh Revival. No, it wasn't. It was in the 40s, the 1940s. Because he became an instrumental intercessor during the Second World War, where the Holy Spirit came to him and said, listen, I want to take over, but I want to take over. You know, will you let me? And he's thinking, oh, man, I don't know. It took him several days, and he finally did. And he said for like a week, he was just pouring out prayers for like a week. It's just, it was amazing. And it turned to be the turning tide in the Second World War was during that aspect, where because we take from the spiritual realm what God's provisions, and it flows through his vessels and then enters into the world, and then they are free to move and bring about those provisions. And that's why it is so important for this remnant that God is raising up to allow him to use them for the purpose of bringing change. And this is how it is important for Christians to now become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and listen, you know, because he speaks to us all through the day, but are we catching it?
Right.
No, that's the thing. Are we catching it or not?
You know, you're talking about someone catching, you know, just really obeying God and allowing God to multiply that work. I found this and I've shared it with several different people. There was a guy named Mordecai Ham. He was back at the turn of the century, one of them traveling evangelists that, you know, had tent meetings and all that. He'd go from town to town, spend, you know, had wagon. It was brought, you know, using wagons and horses. You know, this really before the spread of the automobile. And he'd go, you know, set up his tent, hold a week of revival in towns, and then he'd pack it all up, move on to the next town. And he went into this one town. I'm trying to see if I can find out what the name of the town was, but I don't see it. But he set up his tent revival in front of a barn out in the middle of nowhere. And he says some farmers there were praying. One of them spoke up, said, "I don't know why, but I believe that from this spot, the gospel's going to go around the world." And that's just, you know, that was what the Lord had put on his heart. He said, well, Mordecai Ham came right after that, set up his stuff, and he was holding his revival. And he said his fiery sermons electrified vast audiences. Yet, in this crusade, it was just a devastating disappointment. And in his journal, he said, you know, this week only two people got saved, and one of them was just a 12-year-old boy named Billy Graham.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I mean, that talk about a multiplication effect.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know who's going to listen. You never know who's going to take the baton and run with it and what they're going to do with it. You know, you have to keep sharing the gospel in light of what God is allowing you to do. Mordecai Ham could have said, you know, I'm going to hold meetings all around the world. I want to go in front of kings and queens and presidents. That wasn't his calling.
Yeah.
You know, you have to operate within your calling, within the limits God has put. This is as far as I want you to go. Just do this. I'll take care of the rest. And that divine contact. I mean, Mordecai Ham has so many rewards in heaven, you know, because he just obeyed. You know, he could have said, well, okay, son, you know, I go to the Sunday school class, you know. But he allowed the children to remain, and one of them took the baton and ran with it. You know?
Yes, yes. Now you're talking about the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's two other examples that I wanted to bring in here is receiving, because once the life has changed, you know, Billy Graham was a great example of how he gets out of the way and allows God to have full focus, because that's where the maximum flow takes place.
Yep.
Right? Another example of multiplication, you know, is I was looking up when Elijah prayed for rain. Mm-hmm. All right? Well, you have one person in 1 Kings 18:41 through 45, mm-hmm. where he was burdened by God for the purpose of praying for rain, and many people were blessed because of it, right? So now here is a transition of an individual life. It's a woman that's at church, a young woman. I say young because she's like my son's age, you know. And, you know, isn't it amazing how you look at 33, 34, 35, you know, as being young.
Amen. You know?
All right, so I was having a wonderful conversation with her the other day, and she is bubbling over because, you know, like when you get into God stories, I mean, it's like fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to get into these stories. You know, swapping God stories can go on sometimes for hours and you don't even know it.
Amen.
And so she's telling me about how she just recently had this experience in this picture. She has images that pop into her mind with a tremendous amount of detail in them. No, where then she starts studying them for the purpose of understanding, okay, Lord, well, what's going on? Well, what helped her in this area is that she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit last November, and it kind of like energized her life, and she's moving forward. She's experiencing God, and now whether she had a strong thought or actually heard a word, she had heard the word ruby. Now, you know, that can be a precious stone, or it can be a name of a person, a woman. And so she starts praying for this person, Ruby. And over the year, every time she'd think about it, she was lifting up prayers. And as the story unwinds, her friends were trying to adopt a little girl, 6-year-old girl from India. And then through all the obstacles and things that they had to jump through for the purpose of having this adoption go through, it happened. And then they made the transition where they renamed her, and they gave her the name Ruby.
Amen.
Then she understood that the prayers that she had been asked to pray helped bring about the fulfillment of their goal to help this little girl, help the little girl from India. All right. So then she's starting to see, well, she didn't discount it. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
She did not discount this. And she moved forward with it, and God used her as a vessel for the purpose of helping and aiding this to happen and the fulfillment. Now, there was something else that recently happened with these flashes that are going in her mind. She's seeing these detailed pictures. Now she has another assignment, you see? So if we have a person that, now, if you can multiply this, where we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, and he is giving us these images, then we can help expand the kingdom of God. But this message is not one that is widely given or widely used. And so this is the thing that will help offset the decline of our country by allowing us as individuals to allow the Holy Spirit to use us for the purpose of bringing about the reversal and the change. And one of those big things is 2 Chronicles 7:14, activating that, because I believe totally that it's a formula. You activate 2 Chronicles 7:14, where you humble yourself, you pray, you seek the face of God, and you turn from your sins. It says that he will hear you. He will incline his ear towards you. All right? But there is something in that dynamic that is a fifth. That is a fifth element to that, and that is that desperation. You have to have desperation. Yeah. I recently came across a man that was living in his life experiences, but he had spiritual trouble. Okay? Well, nothing he knew was working. And so it got to the point where he was ready to do anything to alleviate the pain that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So he started to entertain new ideas and humble himself to the avenue by which God had set before him that he wouldn't walk down, because it wasn't a known experience, but it was there to help him. And then when he opened up the door for this, help started to come. But it was because of the area of desperation. You know, and this is a factor that we don't see much in our comfort, you know, and I don't want to see people get to this point, but it comes back to Psalms 107, is that all the illustrations there where a turn took place, it was because of their desperation.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of times, people won't accept the offer of salvation unless they're desperate. I mean, that's what happened to me. That was my call. You know, and I know a lot of other people, you know, that you know, it's kind of like, well, nothing else worked, let me try God. You know, I mean, we say it jokingly, but that's really, you know, oh, I can do it. You know, I'm that type of person. You know, part of the roof blew off the house. That's all right, I'll fix it. You know, I'll get up there, I'll do it. You know, and it's like, no, hire a professional. Nah, I got this. Don't worry about it. You know, and then, you know, instead of just replacing a patch, now I need a whole new roof. But that's the way I am. I think I don't. I can do this. I.
Yeah.
I give up. That's all God's looking for. It's just that last part. I give up. God.
Yeah.
I need you. Just like that. You know.
Yeah.
We're all out of time. Why don't you lead us in a prayer right now? Someone listening. Well, maybe that resonated with them or something.
Okay. All right. I'm grateful for this opportunity. Dear Father God, I pray that you would release your Holy Spirit upon the listening audience And that as they listen to this, Father, that the power of your Holy Spirit will fall upon them, Lord, from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, mm-hmm. that they would be energized, Lord, in pursuing you with their whole heart, mind, and soul. I ask, Father, that there is somebody who might not know you, Father, in that intimate spiritual way, that they are not born again. I pray, Father, that you'd release the dynamics for them to, and the grace to be able to grasp this plan of salvation, that they would yield their heart to you and that they would invite you in, and that Jesus and the Holy Spirit would reign in their spirit with them together and move forward. Because it says in the Bible that salvation comes not just to one person, but to the household. And,
yes.
And we would like to see those households blessed. Father, for those children that you have out there that have been struggling with following the Spirit or not understanding, Father, remove the scales from their eyes and the wax from their ears and allow them to receive your communication throughout the day, and may it be very vivid for them, Lord, so that they too can receive a burden and pray for our country before it is too late. I've seen the end, Lord. Nobody wants to have what is set out in front of us. And so I pray, Father, that you would quicken the hearts of individuals for praying for the kingdom of God and for the compassion of those that are suffering and struggling right now. Yes. Please do exceedingly more than we can ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Tom, we're all out of time for today, but I want you to come back on again because we got so much more to talk about. Every time we get going, it's just like you say, we just feed off each yeah. other, and we keep going after bigger and bigger and bigger fish, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. But if someone wanted to contact you, maybe ask you a question, or maybe ask you to do an interview such as this, how can they get a hold of you?
My email address is healingthenation1776@gmail.com. And I have a Facebook page that is also the same name, Healing the Nation Ministries, and they can contact me there.
Amen, amen. Well, folks, as I said, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Tom, Donna, for coming back on and just leading us down this path that is exposing the darkness for what it is, and that's pure darkness, and getting us to the point where maybe somebody listening to this broadcast will accept God, accept the offer of salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ, and begin to make a change in this country. It only takes one. You know, as we get ready to close, I really need to close, but just think about the people that were praying on election night in 2016, and everybody thought that we were going to become a socialist nation, but the prayers of godly people praying together, God changed that election result, completely unexpected. But look at what's happening right now in the United States. You know, it's a constant fight, light against dark, but the prayers of a righteous person will availeth much. Amen. Well, as we said, just pray that God would pour his Spirit out across this land. And remember that you can be blessed in all that you do. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.